Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're going to read today from Srimad Bhagavatam, from the 6th canto, chapter 11. There's some important verses here, right at the end of the chapter, which maybe a year or two ago, I was reading fairly regularly here and there, different namahattas and different places. So you might possibly be familiar with these verses, but that's okay. They're wonderful verses, and we can hear them again and again. So this then is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 11, the Transcendental Qualities of Vritrasura, Text 24, 25, 26, and 27. So 24. Aham hare tava padaikamula dasanudaso bhavatasmi bhuya mana smaretasu patirgunams te granitava karma karotukaya. Translation. O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, will I again be able to be a servant of your eternal servants, who find shelter only at your lotus feet? O Lord of my life, may I again become their servant, so that my mind may always think of your transcendental attributes, my words always glorify those attributes, and my body always engage in the loving service of your Lordship. Do any of you remember this verse? Do you remember this verse? Okay. Anyway, it's a very beautiful verse. I can just give a little background before I go on and read the other verses. That this chapter is entitled The Transcendental Qualities of Vritrasura, of a demon, in other words. Vritrasura. So, this Vritrasura, in his previous life, he had been a very great devotee, actually, Chitraketu, so great that he had darshan, he spoke personally to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is something very, very rarely achieved, but then somehow some confusion arose, certain situation arose, and he committed an offense, the lotus feet of Lord Shiva. So then, not Shiva, but Shiva's wife, Durga, cursed Chitraketu for he was belittling Lord Shiva, basically, laughing at him. So Durga cursed him, the wife of Lord Shiva. She cursed him that you become a demon. So he did. The words of great personalities like Durga and great devotees, their words may be infallible. That they just say something and it will be truth, whether one likes it or not, or what one thinks about it. It'll come to be. So he became a demon. He became Vritrasura. So he was a demon, but somehow, or when I say demon, at least, he had the body of a demon. He looked like a very ghastly, gigantic type of person, and he looked quite horrific. But at heart, in his heart, in his consciousness, he was a pure devotee still. In fact, that point is mentioned in Madhuri Kadamani by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that there were certain persons in history, there have been certain persons who somehow, due to force of circumstances or some special situation arising, they ended up in the bodies of demons. But despite that, because they were such great devotees, in their minds they remained great devotees. Yeah. So Richasura's particular point in case in point, that he got cursed. Somehow these extraordinary circumstances arose. He got cursed to become a demon, and he got the body of a demon, but his mind was not the mind of a demon. His mind was the mind of a devotee, but of a particular type of devotee, you could say. The type of devotee who has been separated somehow from the Lord, from the Lord's devotees, and from the practice and process of devotional service. Somehow it's been interrupted, some serious obstacle has arisen. So as a result, they're in this very extraordinary and strange situation. Body of a demon, but mind and heart of a devotee. So in that position of separation from Krishna, from the devotees, and from devotional service, they feel that separation very greatly, and therefore they lament. They lament, they lament that I've been placed in this situation, and they hanker, when will I be able to be reunited with my Lord, with the devotees, in the process of devotional service? And we see a burning desire, a blazing, great forest fire of determination to again be with my Lord, again be able to serve him, again be able to associate with and serve his servants. When, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Kabe habe bolo se din amar, when, oh when, will that day be mine? Aparada guchi, shudaname ruchi, kripa bale habe, hridaye sancha. When will that day come? When? My offenses ceasing, my taste for the holy name increasing, and by your mercy, my heart is becoming purified. Kabe habe bolo sedunima. When, oh when, will that day be mine? This mood, this type of mood, it's very important. So Richasura is expressing it here. It's very beautifully. I could mention, actually, that Jiva Goswami in Preeti Sandarbha is an essay, very, very extensive. It's a book, really, but he calls it an essay on love of God. So Jiva Goswami, his procedure when he's compiling different of his literatures, generally, at least in so many cases, particularly in the Sandarbhas, actually, is that he is mainly quoting that such and such is a very important point, and then here we see, then he quotes how this is drawn out by such and such in Srimad Bhagavatam, in this scripture, and then something else is also a very important point, and we see in Vishnu Purana how this is explained. So he refers to these four verses we're going to read. We read the first one already. Spoken by Vritrasura, And he says these are like perfect verses. They express the mind of the devotee who is separated from the Lord and everything through falling into material existence. But now the devotee is hankering to get back. So Jiva Goswami says these verses very perfectly embody that mood and the appeal of that separated devotee. And we, after all, we are all separated devotees. We are in separation. In fact, we may not feel it. Oftentimes, the great devotees, like the gopis, for example, particularly, they may actually be in separation, but they don't feel it. They feel Krishna's here. Sometimes they see a dark monsoon cloud and they feel, ah, Krishna's here, good. They see a tamal tree and they think, ah, Krishna. And they embrace the tree thinking it's Krishna. So sometimes in there, what is it called? Prema vaichitya, madness of love for the Lord. Sometimes when they are separated, they think they're not. And sometimes when they're not separated, they think they are. So we are separated, but we, I don't know if we could say we don't think we are, but we don't feel it so much. We don't feel that burning desire, the importance, I must become Krishna conscious. I must serve Krishna. I must go back to Godhead. I must serve the devotees and just completely drown in the ocean of devotional service. Sometimes we're feeling, yes, it's okay. I'll finish my rounds later. No. You know, some material thing is there. So, oh, I'll do that. Something like this. We're not feeling so often, 24 hours a day, this burning desire, what to do, how to do it. But Vritrasura, he is. So therefore Jiva Goswami points him out to us and points these verses out. Actually, I could just, I mean, I may have mentioned it to you before, but I first read this when the book first came out. I mean, it just first came out. We got some copies in London, and then I got a copy, I think, the same day, and read it. And, you know, I don't want to shock any of you or something like that, but I read this book when I was locked up in jail. Hare Krishna. For what? I committed the terrible crime of distributing Srila Prabhupada's books on Oxford Street in central London, and they arrested me on a Friday afternoon, and I didn't have a passport on me, and they could tell I was a foreigner. So they held me over the weekend because they thought I might escape. So I was there the whole weekend, 3 nights. And the devotees came in and they brought me the book. It had just come out, or just arrived in England that day. So I read the whole thing. And I read these prayers of Vritrasura. I read the whole story of Vritrasura. And oh, it was very enlightening, and my gosh, and I was almost happy to be in jail. And when they came and told me I had to go, anyway, not quite, but so I'm going to just start again actually and read this verse again. And even the Sanskrit's very beautiful, and the whole thing, just the whole mood is very deep and transcendental separation. Aham hare tava padaika mula dasanu daso bhavatasmi buya manasmare tasu patirgunams te Prinitava karma karotukaya. O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, will I again be able to be a servant of your eternal servants who find shelter only at your lotus feet? O Lord of my life, may I again become their servant so that my mind may always think of your transcendental attributes. My words always glorify those attributes, and my body always engage in the loving service of your Lordship. Nanaka prishtam nacha parameshtyam nasarva bhomam na rasadi patyam na yoga siddhir apunarbhavam va samanjasatva virahaya kankshe. O my Lord, source of all opportunities, I do not desire to enjoy in Dhruva Loka, the heavenly planets, or the planet where Lord Brahma resides, nor do I want to be the supreme ruler of all the earthly planets, or the lower planetary systems. I do not desire to be master of the powers of mystic yoga, nor do I want liberation if I have to give up your lotus feet. Ajatapaksha eva mataram kaga stanyam yata vatsa tara shudarta priyam priye vav yushitam vishanna manoravindaksha didrikshataya twam. O lotus-eyed Lord, as baby birds that have not yet developed their wings always look for their mother to return and feed them, as small calves tied with ropes await anxiously the time of milking, when they'll be allowed to drink the milk of their mothers, or as a morose wife whose husband is away from home always longs for him to return and satisfy her in all respects. In the same way, I always yearn for the opportunity to render direct service unto you. Mamotama shloka jineshu sakyam samsara chakre brahmatasva karma bi twan maya yat matmaja daragehesh asakta chitasya nanatha buyat. O my Lord, my Master, I'm wandering throughout this material world as a result of my fruitive activities. Therefore I simply seek friendship in the association of your pious and enlightened devotees. My attachment to my body, wife, children, and home is continuing by the spell of your external energy, but I wish to be attached to them no longer. Let my mind, my consciousness, and everything I have be attached only to you. So I think I'll just read that first verse again. Aham hare tava padaika mula dasanu daso bhavatasmi buya manas mare tasu patirganams te grinitava karma karotukaya. O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, will I again be able to be a servant of your eternal servants who find shelter only at your lotus feet? O Lord of my life, may I again become their servant, so that my mind may always think of your transcendental attributes, my words always glorify those attributes, and my body always engage in the loving service of your Lordship. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This verse gives the sum and substance of devotional life. One must first become a servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Dasa anu dasa. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised, and he also showed by his own example, that a living entity should always desire to be a servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, the maintainer of the gopis. Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayor Dasadas Anudas. This means that one must accept a spiritual master who comes in the disciplic succession and is a servant of the servant of the Lord. Under his direction, one must then engage one's three properties, namely his body, mind, and words. The body should be engaged in physical activity under the order of the master. The mind should think of Krishna incessantly, and one's words should be engaged in preaching the glories of the Lord. If one is thus engaged in the loving service of the Lord, one's life is successful.
Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Ayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vanchakapa Trubhya Stagripa Zindu Vyavacha Padidharam Bhavane Vyo Vaishnava Vyo Namo Namo Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shrimasti Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So we can see these are very beautiful verses. Very profound. The devotee is praying in separation from the Lord. And we are separated from the Lord, actually. So we should also pray like that. We should learn. Krishna consciousness is a process of cultivation when, among other things at least, one has to learn to serve and to act following in the footsteps of the great personalities. So Vritrasura is one such great personality. Somehow, due to circumstances, he ended up like this. But actually, it was not really where he, it certainly was not where he belonged. He belonged with Krishna. He belonged, engaged fully in pure devotional service. But somehow that incident occurred. What happened was that, it's described a little earlier in the same sixth canto, that Chitraketu was flying around the universe. He had some mystical type of aeroplane. And so he was flying around the universe, and he saw in one sacred place, he saw Lord Shiva surrounded by a whole lot of devotees. Well, devotees, they were all sannyasis and rishis and forest-dwelling saints, completely renounced persons, in other words. So there was Chitraketu flying over, seeing this scene, and he saw there's Lord Shiva in the middle of them. But what did he see? He saw Lord Shiva was sitting in the middle of all these renunciates and very advanced, transcendental people. Lord Shiva was sitting there with his wife sitting on his lap. And he was addressing these assembled great sages and saints. And for Chitraketu, he felt, what a strange thing to do. Look at that. My gosh, how could he do that? It was very perplexing, but amusing. There was an amusing side to it. So as he came in closer, and he was looking at this, all these renunciates, you know, with just not even the bare necessities of life. They were just living in the forest with nothing. Totally renounced, totally dedicated to Krishna. And there's Lord Shiva sitting in the middle with his wife on his lap. So, Chitrakeli thought, this is very funny. This is very strange. Funny, strange. Strange, funny. So he laughed. He laughed. Momentarily he laughed at Lord Shiva. And Durga, Lord Shiva, when he saw that and heard that, he thought nothing of it. But Durga, oh, she got very disturbed. So she cursed him. We mentioned that. Become a demon. And he didn't protest. He didn't ask, can you let me off, or can we work out a deal? What do they call it? A plea bargain. You don't curse me, and I'll do something, you know, nice. Something like that. He didn't. He just stood there. He didn't even make any effort to explain at all that I'm sorry, but it was this and it was that, and therefore, and so I'm sorry, and, you know, something like that. No, he just stood there and accepted her words on his head. And then he went away with that curse. He went away, and Lord Shiva then spoke to Durga, and he pronounced one also very famous verse. Do any of you know that verse? Particularly any of you who are feeling sleepy? I know what it's like, but I think some of you slept a lot less than I did. Narayana prasarve na kutaschana bibhuti swarga pavarga narakeshu apitulyarta darshana. Lord Shiva said, Narayana para, just see these devotees of Narayan, of the Supreme Lord, they're so amazing. Swarga, whether they go to heaven, apavarga, whether they're liberated, narakeshu, whether they go to hell, doesn't make any difference. They just accept it and just carry on serving. After all, in hell, there are plenty of opportunities to preach. Preaching challenges. Yeah. So seriously, they don't really worry about these things. As long as they know that this is the Lord's plan, and I can serve him in this situation, they carry on. Similarly, Maharaj Parikshit, he was cursed to die in 7 days. Very similar. Also, for something that was not so serious. In fact, Prabhupada talks about that, how it was very extreme of Durga to curse him like that. It was not appropriate. He was such a great devotee. And there was a reason for him laughing. You know about the 10-rand fine. But that's not your phone, right? I see. 10 rands for the deities. Anyway, just to wake you up all a little bit. Yes. So the devotees, they don't worry. As long as they know they can serve. And Maharaj Parikshit, he was very much like that. He was cursed to die in 7 days, also because he did something which wasn't worth death. You laughed at my husband, therefore, you know, you must die. See, the very fanatical wife. She must have quite a husband. Or it's just something went wrong. Not thinking properly. Yes, you put a snake around my father's neck. Therefore, the only thing that's appropriate is that you die. Anything less would just be insufficient. this sort of mentality. So Lord Shiva was just astonished that Chitraketu, he just stood there. Yes, thank you very much. Quite right. Goodbye. And away he went to become Vritrasura. So he became Vritrasura, and there are pictures in there. In fact, I'll show you a picture. He was very big. And he fought against Lord Indra. And he had a special military fighting technique. He was so big. All he did was walk through the enemy and squelch them. Really. In fact, even squelch anybody who happened to be there. So here's Vritrasura. Look. Look at Vritrasura. How's this? How's that for a classic demon? He's attacking Indra and squelching Indra's soldiers. So Vritrasura, even though he looked so ghastly, but in his heart he was a great devotee, so he was hankering like that. So here, in that first verse, it's a very nice verse, and Srila Prabhupada makes very nice comments that this, Prabhupada says at the beginning of the purport, this verse gives the sum and substance of devotional life. So, in other words, it's extremely valuable. One must become a servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. This is what one must do. But he couldn't. He couldn't, Vritrasura, because he was a demon, or his body was. Such a, like a complete misfit. So he couldn't do it, therefore he was feeling like that. So much separation and calling out and crying and praying. So we should also try to develop this mood. Prabhupada explains in Nectar of Devotion that this movement is here to teach you how to cry for Krishna. Not in some, you know, silly or sentimental way, but to actually feel like that. That, oh, I'm separated from you, my Lord, and this is very bad, and I must not be separated. I must come back and close that gap and again be with you so strongly. It's very important. So of course we cannot artificially somehow or other just brainwash ourselves into thinking like this, just force the mind. But it will come in due course with realization, as one's realization and spiritual sensitivity and consciousness evolves or uncovers gradually, more and more, step by step. One will feel like that. How did I ever live with Krishna? How was it possible? I was just working and watching television and so on, very ordinary things. And I didn't know, I didn't think that Krishna must be there. I need Krishna. But now I see that I do need Krishna. I need him very badly. If I can't have him, well, then it'll be almost like death. Or even worse than death, in the case of very advanced devotees. So we're not feeling like that, even though we have excellent opportunity to. Because we are very nicely separated from Krishna. We are very much separated from Krishna. And so if anyone is to experience what it means and what it feels like to be separated from Krishna, we are the first class candidates. But generally on the material platform, people are not thinking like that. They're thinking that my life is fine. I don't need more. I'm just separated from more money, that's all. And in this way, I'm separated from more sense gratification. That's my only problem. It's my only problem. Otherwise, I have no problem. Yes, my life is going on nicely, but our lives are not going on nicely. A few of you were there last night at the Tent Campaign, and we were there giving the class, actually, on Thursday night. And then outside the tent, actually, just across the road, some women started wailing and crying. And about 50 people got up in the middle of the class and went out to see. So one lady died, one Muslim lady died. And even the devotees were across the road doing Harinam. You were there, weren't you? Yes. They were across the road doing Harinam, you know, maybe an hour or two at the most before that. Maybe two. They were there doing Harinam across the road. There's big mini blocks of flats. So one Muslim boy came out very serious and said, you know, my mother is very sick. Really very sick. Could you keep the noise down? So devotees being devotees, they decided, this is a signal from Krishna. We must turn the sound up. Yes. It's obviously that's what Krishna wants. So they did. Anyway, whatever, they just carried on chanting there. So it seems it was that lady. And then last night, some of you were there, you might have noticed over the road, they were having some funeral thing for her. There was a whole lot of Muslim people there doing whatever they do. So it was quite interesting. The material world and separation. That suddenly they felt that separation, and it was very dramatic, and it could have come to the point where the whole program got disrupted. In fact, that was what passed through my mind. Oh my gosh, this whole program is just going to be thrown upside down for tonight now that all this is happening. But anyway, generally people settled down. But apparently that lady, she got to hear the chanting, Muslim lady. Just like somewhere around here, I forget where exactly, Ahmad Didat lived. Remember him? Fanatical Muslim preacher. Criticize anybody. So he died. But before he died, he had a stroke. He was in his garden. Suddenly, bang, you know, he collapsed and he was just having a stroke. And his Hindu neighbor, or like somewhat devotee neighbor, saw this and naturally had to help. So she came running over, grabbed him and saw that, you know, he's just like severely incapacitated. So she chanted in his ears, Hare Krishna. She thought, good idea. And poor old Ahmad Didat, you know, couldn't do anything at all. But he got the holy name. So it seems Krishna has a program for these Muslims somehow. But my point is that separation is like that. Separation is like that. On the material platform, people are feeling separation if someone dies, as in this case. But in general, we devotees or anybody is not feeling that separation from Krishna. But we are separated. We have every opportunity to cultivate and develop those feelings of separation. But no, we think, anyway, we have our other programs, basically, watching television, visiting relatives, and so on. And this makes up, fills that gap, that hole in our lives and in our hearts, which is the hole sort of representing lack of Krishna. So Vritrasura is an ideal person in this regard, because he so nicely embodies and expresses these intense feelings of separation. He says, here, the first thing, when will I become the servant of your servants? Because if I do, then I'll get to hear about Krishna. Then I'll get inspired. I'll become inspired to glorify you. Through becoming the servant of your servants, I will hear from them about you. And in this way, I'll be able to glorify you. Always. Vritrasura is feeling like that. Then he says that I don't desire anything. To go to the heavenly planets, Lord Brahma's planet. Does he want to become a mystical yogi? Doesn't want to get even liberation if he has to give up the Lord's lotus feet. Then, Vritrasura, in the next verse, he uses a very interesting type of system of comparison, which Jiva Goswami refers to. Jiva Goswami says there are three examples used here of living entities who are separated from someone. And they're feeling that. And he says we should be like that. But he says these three are increasing in terms of increasing levels of feeling that separation. So the first is the baby bird who cannot fly is waiting for the mother to come back, waiting with such extremely intense feeling. Or next, even higher, the calf waiting for milking time. And then she can be with her mother again and drink some milk from her, feeling so strongly that separation. Or like, and then the strongest, he says, like a very chaste and good wife who's separated from her beloved and highly respected husband. She feels it's too much. It's too much. So these three are there, given by Jiva Goswami, in terms of increasing levels of feelings of separation. Just like a funny little thing. We're staying at one place in Tongat. They have two dogs, sort of high class pedigree dogs. Believe me, a dog's a dog. Oh my gosh. Anyway, this dog, I mean the female dog of the two, well, first of all, her brother impregnated her. High class dogs. Yes, brother. So while we were there, I think it was Wednesday night, she gave birth to five puppies. Two were dead on birth and three were living. And then one other died, I think yesterday or the day before. Something like that. And she was just beside herself. She wouldn't eat. They would give her something to eat. She'd take it and bury it. And Eventually they took away the dead body and buried it. She went into such a panic. So they had to dig up the dead body. And then she took the dead body and buried it herself. And it was like she was oblivious to anyone and anything. Just totally absorbed in this. Yeah, so these feelings the living entities have in material life, intense feelings of attachment, separation, concern, these are perverted reflections of the real feelings of the soul, of the person, the actual eternal person for the Supreme Lord. So Krishna consciousness means, this human form of life means, that somehow or other we have to come to the point of appreciating our position in relation to Krishna as being like that. And then we'll see how the other situations, that I am separated, I am in a bad situation, somehow or other, I am in a bad situation, but I can't see it. I think I'm in a good situation. I have my house and family and motor car and some money and so on, so I'm in a good situation. Yes. But no, we're not in a good situation. We're not in a good situation. We're in a very bad situation. We're lost in this foreign place. It's a very foreign place, the material world, where we don't fit in, and even if we try, we cannot fit in. But we're lost here. But still we're thinking, that I'll be fine here. I'll be all right. But no, actually, we're separated from Krishna. And all these material things, they will not be able to help us. I'll give you an interesting little example. In Europe, they have now changed, in many parts at least, changed the money. Now you use the euro, not the German mark or French franc or various of these coins. So there, in different countries, there were different cut-off dates where you could use both currencies up to this point, but then after this day you couldn't. You have to use only the euro. So some people, they had a wad of whatever, some French francs. And normally you think, very good, I have my money, I'm all right. But one day some of them, they went to the shops. Yes, I will buy this with my French francs. Sorry, can't use it. So, they're feeling security that I have my bank balance. But actually it's simply little pieces of paper with pictures on it. And it has no intrinsic value at all. Just as waste paper, perhaps, but nothing beyond that. But people are thinking, yes, very good, I will get my degree and my big-time position and then my big-time money and then I will be fine. But Prabhupada, do you know what Prabhupada did as an actual case in point? Prabhupada got a bachelor's degree, but on the day of the graduation where you come to get your certificate, on principle he didn't go. So he never got his bachelor's degree strictly speaking. So, of course, he said that was because he was a follower of Gandhi. And Gandhi, you know, he told them, burn your degrees. So the enthusiastic followers of Gandhi, they did that. They burnt their degrees. And, so many British things. So, the point is that we're prone to try to find security on the material platform, but it is just a transient thing. It is not really of real substance. It is not that we really need that, otherwise we'll be in trouble. But we need Krishna. Without Krishna, then at the end of this life, who knows? During this life, who knows? Our lives will be a disaster. But the problem is that we're not feeling that we need Krishna. So this is called Maya. This is called Maya. We need this. But we feel, no, I don't need it. I'm fine. But we need it. Without that, our lives are just practically nothing, actually. So we should try and follow in the footsteps of Ritrasura. This is, in one sense, why Srila Prabhupada, this is one aspect, at least, of the reason why Srila Prabhupada spoke so strongly about what is wrong with material life. If you listen to almost any lecture of Prabhupada, I've read at least transcripts, Prabhupada's lecture on Radhastami. And it's all, you're not this body, you're trying to enjoy independently. Yes, you're in Maya, you're in illusion. It's not so much, Radhe, Radhe, or whatever. Really, it's like that. So it's one aspect, to try to help us to see that we are separated from Krishna, we are in trouble, and we do need to take shelter, and we should feel that. Yeah, not just simply some gyan, you are not this body, philosophy, something like that. No, it's very important. We are separated from Krishna. And we're caught up in all these other things which actually can't help us. But still we're thinking, oh, I'm fine. I'm sure you know that Prabhupada, he was hospitalized. I think it was in 67 or so. He had a heart attack or some type of related phenomenon. And he was in hospital for maybe a night or so, or something. And there was one man next to him who had been in a car accident, and his limbs were broken, and he was all, in traction, and legs up and down, and so on. And his relatives came, Prabhupada was there. And they asked him how he was, and the man said, oh, I'm fine. So this is called, what is this called? Maya. This is really called Maya. The illusion. So, first of all, we have to come to really understand, not just some sentiment, oh, Krishna, Krishna, you're so nice. I love you, Krishna. No. That feeling will arise as we see that, oh, I'm separated from Krishna. I am in a bad situation. It is hurting me in so many ways. It is detrimental in so many ways. I must change the situation. I have to. By taking shelter and crying out and serving heart and soul. Then, when we have some feeling like that of separation from Krishna, then some love may arise, some actual appreciation and real attraction to Krishna in a meaningful sense. So there we have it. Vritrasura, such great devotee, and just crying out, I'm separated from you, my Lord. I'm feeling it. So please be merciful to me. Trying to take shelter in so many ways. Let us follow in his footsteps by cultivating an appreciation of how it is bad to be on the material platform and how it is better to be with Krishna and to be with devotees and to be serving Krishna. Any comments or questions?